Phil Hendry.
Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News Talk and Entertainment Show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we thank you for joining us. I am Phil Hendry, Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard with us, and we're just sort of feeling our way, if you'll pardon the expression, into the week, you know.
Well, what do you mean? I appreciate you saying that. You're a gentleman, but when you said pardon the expression.
You just didn't want to make it sound like you're getting felled up.
I know that, and I appreciate that.
You appreciate that. That's even weirder than me having to say pardon the expression.
Why?
Because there should be no problem with me saying we're feeling our way into this week. I shouldn't have to sit here and sweat out whether you think it's sexist.
There are people that would take it that way, Phil. So I thank you for saying pardon the expression when you talk about groping your way into what... Why is that difficult?
Didn't say grope.
He said feel, and I heard the way he said it.
I didn't say it in any weird way, so...
Well, I think you did.
Well, no, I did not.
Didn't say as we grope our way.
It sounded like it when you said as we feel, and there was an oiliness about it. I don't know.
Yeah, okay, so anyway...
Phil, don't roll your eyes like you're dealing with an imbecile. I heard you. You wanted to say as we probe and grope.
Yeah, but he didn't, and that's the bottom line. He was a gentleman enough not to go with his instinct and say as we grope it.
You know, you people really need some help.
I don't like you people. It sounds racist.
Really? It sounds racist against who?
Blacks.
You're not black.
But it makes me feel as if I... Well,
as if you are black? Oh, man.
Phil, just do your show. I'm here to be a commentator. I'm commentating. I'm not sitting and hosting. I'm commentating on what it is.
What it is.
Okay, so that's great. Thank you very much. Anyway, welcome to the show. You'll notice here on Phil TV at HD, we have the story. Michael Douglas' son Cameron reportedly beaten badly in prison. This is just a very quick story here on Cameron Douglas. He was reportedly beaten in a Pennsylvania prison, winding up with a broken finger and a broken leg. Cameron Douglas, 34, suffered the injuries, including a broken femur. A broken femur, that's the big bone there in your thigh. After a New York City crime boss put a $100 bounty on his head during the prison flag football league season because he was a, quote, rat, a prison source told the New York Post. Oh, yeah.
Well, you don't believe that?
No, it could be true, and it could be a load. How do they know? What do you mean a prison source told the New York Post that he's a rat and it was $100 on a flag foot? Get out of here.
Yeah, but you don't know. Maybe it's true.
Maybe. Anyway, I look askance at. After the younger Douglas reportedly dropped out of the league where he was targeted, he nonetheless turned up badly injured. The actor's son blamed his injuries on a handball game, and the doctor's aide reportedly misdiagnosed the break as a sprain at first. But according to the source, you don't break a femur playing handball. He's still walking around on crutches 2 months later. Oh, I see. So the source is having to deduce the deducements.
Yeah, the deducement.
Not deducements, the
deduction.
Deductions.
That's for money. I thought it was...
It's not deducements. So anyway, that's the story of that poor kid, Cameron. You know, what are you going to do, man? You're in jail. This kid was convicted of distributing crystal meth. Then they added another few years to the sentence because he was convicted of drug possession in prison, which is stupid as can be. So he's not too bright, and he's a drug addict. And did Michael Douglas make that movie Traffic, which, by the way, was I thought he made that movie in part as a way of getting the message out about drug addiction and trafficking because of his son. I don't know if that's the case or not, but that's a hell of a great movie. You should see it, Traffic. Benicio del Toro got a Academy Award for it. That's how good. He plays a Mexican police officer who is honest. And it's a great performance by him because he's this honest Tijuana Federale, who's in the middle of all of this police corruption in Mexico and also having to deal with the drug trafficking that's going on between the two countries that is primarily, in this case, in the for purposes of the film, and probably very true in real life, primarily is going through places like Tijuana and other border towns. And here you have the Mexican government dealing with it in their way, which is it not always honest. Sometimes it's corrupt. They use police torture. They do terrible things. On the other end of the stick, you've got these American junkies and these hard-charging DEA guys that want to, win the accolades of their public. And in the middle of this is this poor cop, who's a Mexican cop, doesn't make a lot of money, won't take payoffs, won't take graft. And it's a very touching story, I guess, because they ask him, finally, the American authorities draft him, if you will, into an operation where they're going to run a sting along with the Mexican government on these corrupt Mexican officials that are enabling this drug trafficking. And they are able to induce this cop, played by Benicio del Toro, into the plan. But even as he agrees to it, they ask him how he feels. He says, "I feel like a traitor." Because he's giving up people in his own country to the American side. But they ask him eventually, what is it that you want? And all this cop wants, as he gets up every morning and he looks down onto this vacant lot across from his apartment, all he wants is to see a baseball diamond. He wants to build a baseball field. I realize it sounds very sugar and spice and everything nice, but I thought it was a very cool view of life through the eyes of a non-traditional character, which would be a Mexican police officer who, on top of everything else, is honest, but he's caught between loyalty to his own country and his own government and his desire to clean up the streets, and he realizes that the police that he's working with are part of the problem. So it's a...
And this is called what?
This is called Traffic. It was it came out a number of years ago with Michael Douglas is in it. Benicio del Toro, though, plays this Mexican police officer. It's told from two points of view, from the American side, and Don Cheadle is in it. It's fantastic. It's really great. It's a great movie. I recommend it.
And who was the director?
Steven...
Spielberg.
No. Sondberg?
Sondheim.
Steven Sondheim.
He's a music guy, isn't he?
Oh, speaking of that, you were going to conclude your story on... Can we get...
Oh, yeah, okay. But no, Steven Sonderberg, I guess is his name. I'm sorry, folks, I can't remember. But I would recommend that you get it and watch it and then throw it away. I'm kidding. No, you'll enjoy it. All right, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So make a long story short, there we were in the hotel with Foreigners Road Crew and a bunch of Baptists, and they were playing Can We Gather at the River, and somebody stuffed a $5 bill into the brandy snifter on top of the piano and said, "Keep playing what you're playing." Steven Soderbergh, thank you very much, Dan.
Well, what do you mean, thank you, Dan? I'm the one that...
You didn't come up with it. You're giving me Steven Sondheim.
Yeah, but we were thinking about it.
I thought that was a made-up name.
What?
Steven Soderbergh sounded like Steven...
Yeah, I thought it was like Steven Sourdough.
Yeah, me too.
No, it's Steven Soderbergh, and he's the one that directed it, and he's a hell of a director. All right. Steven Sourdough.
That's what it looked like to me. So anyway, Phil, that spiritual... Can we gather at the river, the beautiful do-do-do-do-do. You know that song, right?
Yeah.
That is an old spiritual that they played in church.
I know.
Well, yes, you say you know because you were at a Baptist convention, but did you hear it in church? Did you?
No, but I mean, I know that that was a spiritual from church.
But you didn't hear it in the church. You heard it in a bar. You heard it in a bar room.
Yeah, you're there like in a bar.
In a bar room.
In a bar. In a bar room. Yes, I understand.
Are you... Don't listen to them. Listen to me. So the point I'm making is you never got it in its original, I don't know, packaging, if you want to call it that. So it goes like this, if I may.
Go ahead.
One, two, three. One, two, three. One, two. One. No, I messed it up. Hold on. A one and a two and a one. Can we gather at the river? La 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 la. That song.
You know, I might as well just listen to him singing it in the bar because...
Yeah, probably better than that.
Pardon me for just one moment.
What are you going to do? Oh, yeah, that got it.
Don't you ever make fun of my singing again.
Woo! That stings.
What do you got to belt him for?
What do I... He's sitting there going, la-ha-ha-ha. I won't sit still for it. I won't stand for it. No one, and I mean no one, makes fun of my singing.
No one was making fun, Margaret, but when you're going to sit there and go, la-la-la-la-la, what's the point?
I do a minimalist kind of singing, so I give you the essence, and the real beauty comes through the harmony. So, for instance, can we gather at the river, la-la-la-la, hoo-hoo-hoo. You see what I mean? You don't need the lyrics.
That sounds very beautiful, Ms. Gray.
You're lying.
Well, he's trying to tell the truth. After you belt him, and why are you taking off your high heel?
I'm getting it ready.
All right, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry's show. When we come back here, more on the gravity probes that crashed into the moon's surface and the other news stories that we said we would do that we haven't done yet. Whichever ones those are.
Celebrity hacker.
Oh, celebrity hacker gets 10 years in prison. Woo! That's rough, man. We'll find out about that guy. When we come back, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Well, one thing that we haven't properly mocked or referenced in a disparaging manner, one thing we have not properly and I think thoroughly rended from one edge to the next, one thing that we have not properly discredited and befouled with our rapier-like wit, and that is, of course, the so-called end of the world. There's nothing like end-of-the-world fear. I love it. I love it no end. Because you can really mess with people's minds. And when you are able to mess with somebody's mind about the end of the world, it gives you a lot of information on that person. And I don't think it's sadistic.
I think it is, Phil. There are a lot of people that worry about that.
No. Let me tell you something. People that are obsessing about the end of the world, there's something wrong with them, and we might as well know who they are. You know, we're talking about all this stuff about how do we identify whack jobs and crazies and weird asses and people that are too preoccupied with this, that, or something else. I think the time is now, man.
Well, you don't throw them in jail or something.
No, but I'm just going to say this. If you are really worried about the end of the world, there's something wrong with you, and you need a doctor. Or you need some anxiety medication or... You know, there's an issue that is not being dealt with. And when that obsession with the end of the world begins to affect your own work, your own relationships, your relationships with other people, now it isn't just a matter of, well, you know, there's Charlie and he's got some goofy idea the world's going to end. Now you become a pain in the ass to the rest of the community. And then, of course, this happens. Then that person who believes the end of the world is coming, who's also becoming a pain in the ass to everybody else, he starts talking about how his rights, he's got a right to this, he's got a right to that. You got a right to a lot of things. You don't have a right to expect some sort of special consideration or to disrupt the normal ebb and the flow of daily business because you think this, that, or something else. That's why these groups that are quasi-religious who believe in the doomsday, they really are a pain in the ass because they wear as their cloak the validity of religion and God. And if you criticize them, then you must hate God. So there's all kinds of seriously, seriously demented people out there. This doomsday, this Mayan thing, for the most part, it's a big joke. And people see it as such and laugh their ass off. But there's a handful of people. They're for real, man. And if I regret anything, I regret this, and I'll regret it till the day I die, that I didn't open up a survival shop and start selling sleeping bags and canteens and hats and bulletproof vests at a big, big markup.
Yay!
That's true.
Absolutely.
Very good, Mr. Henry.
Well, why are you applauding? I didn't do it. I should have done it.
Yeah, but at least you recognize it.
Oh, my God. right there in front of us was an opportunity to pocket, you know, a few hundred grand, but did we do it? No, we didn't do it. We were too busy laughing at all these jack... I could have made a couple of dollars off of these clowns.
Do you know anybody that did?
I don't know anyone. I made a joke. I said, you know, my family's in the survival gear business. But no, I didn't. I don't know anyone. I mean, I know of people. I personally don't. Now, guess where this doomsday thing has reached its paranoid arm into? China. For members of a doomsday cult in China, the end may indeed be near, but that's only because the Chinese man, I'm going to pop you and drop you down a hole.
Yeah, that's the Chinese Harvey Keitel.
If he laughs like that one more time, I drive this long fingernail into an eye.
Shut up!
Don't talk that way, Margaret. For members of the Doomsday Cult in China, the end may indeed be near. Authorities have in recent weeks arrested more than 100 members of a fringe Chinese-inspired, Christian-inspired group known as Almighty God that is prophesying the world will end December 21st, according to state media. Members of the group have been distributing apocalyptic literature and sending text messages throughout China when the government began detaining them that month. On December the 8th, police arrested 34 members in Fujian province, which lies on China's southeastern coast. On Thursday, they arrested 37 members, including seven leaders in Jiangying, a city in west... I used to know how to pronounce these towns.
Well, you were there, so how do you pronounce that?
I would call that Jiangning.
Why? It says X-A.
I would say that Jiangning, a city in west-central province of Guanghao.
Well, you're just guessing.
I'm guessing based upon how I have heard it pronounced or how I've heard the Chinese people pronounce things. Anyway, there have also been arrests in Sichuan.
That's the name of Sichuan chicken.
That's how you pronounce it.
That's not Sichuan. That's S-I-C-H-U-A-N.
Yeah, Sichuan. And Hubei or Hubei, Hubei or Hubei.
I don't know. Who does?
God, I want to hurt him.
Easy. What is it with you guys now?
That's not Sichuan. It's spelled with a Z.
Oh, is that right? Is that because that's what it says on the menu?
Yes.
Well, guess what? Maybe they don't spell it like that in China.
Phil, I think it's very convenient for you to say that, but until you have some proof, Sichuan is spelled with a Z. I would bet, well...
Well, I'll tell you what, man. Look it up, bud. You look it up, and we'll find out. But I think that that's how Sichuan is pronounced. And by the way, I love Sichuan chicken and everything hot and spicy on the menu. Thank you. December 21st is approaching, and on that day, half of the world's good people will die, and all evil people will die out. Only if you join the Almighty God movement can you avoid death and be saved, warned a pamphlet confiscated by police in Shaoxing City in the eastern province of Zhejiang, and quoted by state media. A text message predicted great tsunamis and earthquakes are about to happen around the world. Perhaps more threatening to the Chinese government, the group has urged followers to wage war on what it called the Big Red Dragon, referring to the Communist Party. All right. So that's where they're really busting down.
Well, you don't... Yes, but they don't want them to spread panic. You've got millions and billions, Phil, of people over there. And if panic breaks out, and you've got this kind of panic in a country like that...
Well, there's a lot of people doing what?
Well, they're barely going to panic.
You've got billions of Chinese. And if for whatever reason they panic, my God, may God have mercy on your soul.
Well, what's going to happen, Margaret? What do you mean panic? You've got Americans that are going to do the same thing.
We don't have as many people, hello. If our people panic, I hate to say this, but if our people panic, the police can contain it with riot guns and things like that. But if the Chinese panic, they will be on you, they will swarm you before the officer is able to get before he's able to unholster his weapon.
What the hell are you talking about?
What do you mean, what am I talking? You're the one reading the story.
What are you talking about? They're going to swarm him.
The Chinese have got a billion people, right?
I'm talking to her.
No, listen, Bud knows.
The Chinese got a billion people, right?
Yes, a little over a billion.
over a billion. So they've been adding to it, right?
Yes, they've been adding to it. Hold on, we got to take a break.
The Chinese, if they panic, they'll be on you like white on rice.
That's a good one, man.
Hold on for a minute.
Wait a minute. I didn't mean it.
Yeah. Ah. Ah.
Yeah, how's that feel, huh?
Yeah.
That's the same one you got last week.
Oh, sorry.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Listen to you. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Trying to make a point, and you're kicking him in the...
The gonadal.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here. What do you got, Margaret?
Well, this is what Dan was talking about because of the gold rush. That you were talking about the gold in San Francisco?
Well, we were talking during a break. We were talking about... I want to get back to the Chinese doomsday and these other stories that we have. I don't want to get sidetracked, okay?
Fine, Phil. I brought up Johnny Horton's North to Alaska.
What's that about?
About the gold rush.
No, the gold rush was California.
There were a lot of gold rushes, bud.
There were a lot of them, you idiot.
Call me an idiot.
Do you want another one? Do you want the other? You said I got the same one twice. Never mind.
God, talk much?
Okay.
Wow!
All right, here we go. Way up north to Alaska, I go north rushes on. Big Sam left Seattle in the year of 92. With George Pratt, his brother, and partner Billy, too. They crossed the Yukon River and found the Bonanza. Oh, this isn't the song I was thinking of.
What song were you thinking of?
In 1814, we took a little trip.
That's the one about... We've been through this before.
Yeah, Miss Gray, that's the one about New Orleans.
Shut up and don't breathe on me. I'm talking to Phil. How many times do I have to tell you, Phil?
Oh, you're not getting it right. North to Alaska is one song. The New Orleans thing that you're singing is different.
In 1814, we took a little trip.
Yeah, along with Colonel Jackson.
Yeah, along with Colonel Jackson where?
Down the mighty Mississippi.
Oh, sure. That's how the words go. Oh, baby.
I'm pretty sure Phil's right.
Well, that's not good enough for me, bud, you being pretty sure about anything. If you were pretty sure the moon was solid and could be landed on, I'd swear to Almighty God that any craft... Well, never mind. You keep on laughing, funny boy.
Mr. Henry, I think that she might have a North to Alaska...
Will you forget about North to Alaska and all this stuff, man? I'm trying to get to the meat of the matter, if you'll pardon the expression, Margaret.
Don't look at me when you say meat as if I'm going to start...
Jumping for joy? Aren't you going to hit me?
No, I'm saving it up.
All right, so anyway, getting back to the Chinese Doomsday, December 21st is approaching, and so the Chinese Doomsday Group is scaring the hell out of everybody, saying that the world is ending. And as I said to Dan, that's what we were talking about. We were talking about the doomsday supplies, the end of the world supplies, and how we could have made a fortune. We could have made a fortune selling doomsday supplies to these schmucks that think the world's coming to an end. But did we? No. So I'm no smarter than those guys.
Well, there you go.
Exactly. You can sit around and make fun of them, or you can go ahead and make hay while the sun shines. Now, as we were saying... The guys that made all the money during the gold rush in California, and I dare say in Alaska, were not guys that found gold. They were the ones that were selling the supplies. You see this story time and again. It repeats itself over and over and over in all of the history of the period that you read. The guys that made the big money were the guys that opened up these shops that sold shovels, that sold panning supplies, and so forth.
Who's that general you said about?
General Sherman. General William Tecumseh Sherman, who later made his name in the Civil War, was stationed in Northern California. He was stationed in Monterey, which was where that was the capital of the state at that time. And there was a military installation of some U.S. Army installation, and General Sherman would ride into what in those days was called Yerba Buena. Today we know it as...
Baltimore?
Baltimore.
Well,
California? Baltimore, California?
Eureka.
San Francisco. You ever heard of that place?
Well, you didn't say.
Well, where the hell do you think the freaking Baltimore? So anyway, Yerba Buena is where the good general opened up a shop. And I think within a couple of years, the name was changed to, or it became more commonly associated with San Francisco. But nonetheless, the good general opened up a supply store. And Sherman, not that anybody's interested in this, because this is a bunch of dorky history that only Phil knows. But hey, you know what? Somebody's got to talk about it. And like I care whether people find it interesting or not, it beats the hell out of Jawjack and the same school shooting story over and over and over and over and over again without coming to any conclusions about it. Now then.
Yay!
Don't applaud for that. I didn't like that.
Why?
It sounded cynical.
Whatever. So, anyway, Sherman made a lot of money that way, and he was very wealthy, one of the wealthier officers or ossifers in the United States Army, giving it the French pronunciation. So the Chinese government is concerned because this group of religious nuts in China are saying, beware the big red dragon. In Henan province, authorities said that the suspect held in a slashing attack that injured 23 school children Friday had acted under the influence of a doomsday belief. It was unclear, however, whether the authorities were linking the man to the same group. I just don't think that you're barking up the... I think what you have to do is you don't attack the symbol of a person, the symbol that a person uses in their psychosis. You go for the person who has the psychosis. You know, crazy people use the society and the culture that they live in as a symbol for a lot of things. If you want to start criticizing, something that a nut uses and justifies his nut-like acts with, then you're going to have to take down God, Jesus, Napoleon, you name it, Major League Baseball. I mean, these crazy fools use any and all as a way of justifying their psychotic behavior, if indeed they're psychotic, or in the case of a sociopath, he lies about it. What he really wanted to do was just go and kill everybody, because he wants to kill everybody, and he'll use some bullcrap excuse, you know. But this kid that they're talking about, this Lanza kid, and the mother, man, I'm telling you, are you kidding me or something? That's about as goofy a situation as I ever heard of in my life.
Well, was she a survivalist? What was the story there?
She had weapons. Apparently, she taught the kid how to shoot. She was getting 21 G's a month in child support. Okay, not a problem. I mean, she's in, you know, the law says in every state that I know of that the child is entitled to a lifestyle commensurate with the earnings of the, you know, of the providing parent. So if the father's making a lot of money, then that child is entitled to a lifestyle that is, or entitled to, you know, support commensurate with that. So that dad, I think he's making close to $500,000 a year. And he also was paying for the boy's education and so forth. It sounded like a man who, they'd worked out a settlement that was reasonable within the law. Anyway, now the kid's got access to these guns. He apparently is well known as, he's got some social adaptability problem. They think it's Asperger's syndrome. I think I saw that mentioned. But there's an inability to socialize properly or correctly. There's an inability to relate properly, correctly. The kid's got, he's got problems. And the people know this. Now, in the meantime, the mother's teaching this kid how to shoot. And how the kid and I understand, folks, if you have children and you think that they are just the greatest thing since sliced bread and they're just so smart and wonderful and marvelous and, oh, I would never lock my weapons up around my son. Why is that? Because I taught him how to shoot. Yeah, I'll bet you did.
Well, are you saying that she should have locked those weapons up? She trusted that that boy would do the right thing.
Well, she's an idiot. She's an idiot. The kid got those guns. First person he killed was her. And then went in and did what he did. I'm not a genius, but I mean, I'm looking at this thing from just the distance of the Monday morning quarterback, because I don't know anything about it. And I'll tell you something else about Monday morning quarterbacking, by the way, folks. If it's professional football or sports, Monday morning quarterbacks are a dime a dozen, no question about it. But when it comes to these events, these unacceptably violent and vicious and sadistic and twisted events, hey, you know what? Yeah, you better believe I'm going to be a Monday morning quarterback. I didn't know this stuff was going to happen. People are dumping this crap in my lap, saying, okay, figure another one out. All right, well, I guess we're going to Monday morning quarterback it. And if people don't like it, you can stick it, because what choice have we got?
Well, don't Monday morning quarterback.
Oh, really? Well, I'd be happy to Friday morning quarterback, but nobody told me somebody was going to go nuts and do this. But this mother and this kid, and what the hell was she? She was an anarchist, survivalist, a teacher? What the hell is going on with this world? I know that there have been crazy people since the beginning of time. I understand that. But we've crossed a threshold where the insanity is now empowered with firearms. That's not cool. I know that there have been whack jobs since the days began. I know there have been goofy religious cults. There have been mothers and sons and fathers and daughters and weird-ass clans of every type. There's been Hatfields. There's been McCoys. There's been the real McCoys. There's been the fake McCoys. There's been every kind of McCoy. And they've all been people that we've had to deal with. But we've crossed a line somewhere where all of these nuts now regularly get their hands on guns and find it acceptable to go out and take people out with these guns. Can't do it. We can't do it. We can't allow it. It ain't going to happen anymore. And I'm speaking as a gun rights advocate.
Well, you've said that, Phil, but what is your solution?
My solution is the following. My solution is the following. I don't know. I mean, I've got a solution, but it's almost police state-like. I mean, I believe another database is needed, and I think it's a database of individuals who have been, and we're asking psychiatrists now to reveal their records. I don't know if they'd be willing to do it. I don't know. I don't even know if I'm willing to advocate that, but you know what? Forget it, man. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, you got to talk about it. You bringing it up.
No, I don't have to talk about it. No, I don't. And I'm not going to talk about it. And I'm not going to do... No, this is not going to be another talk show talking about this. All right, we'll be right back. We did the doomsday thing, and we've got some other stories. World famous Phil Henry Show. Oh, the celebrity hacker story next on the world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here, the Phil Henry Show. Here is the, this kind of goes hand in hand with some other things that we've talked about on this show, both on the air and off the air. Celebrity hacker gets 10 years prison for email hack after stealing and posting private information from more than 50 celebrities, including Scarlett Johansson and Christina Aguilera. Christopher Chaney is sentenced to prison. The man targeted in Operation Hackerazzi is now behind bars. Christopher Chaney was sentenced to 10 years in prison on Monday by U.S. District Judge James Otero. Chaney pled guilty to hacking into dozens of celebrities' email accounts and posting their private information on the Internet. According to his, among his victims were Scarlett Johansson, Christina Aguilera, and Renee Olstead. It's hard to fathom the mindset of a person who would accomplish all of this, Otero said, according to the Associated Press. These types of crimes are as pernicious and serious as physical stalking. They're pretty weird. It takes a pretty messed up person to do something like this, but nonetheless, they need to have, they need to be stopped. And, in this case, this guy Chaney, a 35-year-old man from Jacksonville, was nabbed last year following an 11-month investigation that federal officials named Operation Hackerazzi. After the bust, Chaney initially pled not guilty, but he later struck a deal and ended up agreeing to 9 counts. Those counts included identity theft, wiretapping, and unauthorized access of protected computers. This guy got this private information by hacking into people's computers and then posting it online. So you'll see what these charges are. Identity theft, wiretapping, and unauthorized access of protected computers. He also agreed to surrender his computers, external drives, and cell phones. Now, according to the judge and others, this guy did not show any remorse. The judge says he believed Cheney would not control his behavior and showed a callous disregard for his actions. So that's that whole sociopathic thing. You know, these guys have a power. They have a sense that they're smarter than everybody else. And this is their way of controlling the world because in their real life, they've got very little to no control. There's all kinds of stuff that's out of control out there that really pisses them off. And in the case of the guy that I mentioned on the air last week, I mentioned his username during our pre-shows, and I've also mentioned his username on Twitter and on Facebook. This guy, I happen to know, has a real control thing. That he's got a real idea. He has real specific ideas on how he wants things to be, and things ain't that way. So that's the way it is for these, especially anonymous hackers and anonymous people that need to be anonymous in order to maintain that illusion of power. More than 50 victims from the entertainment industry were connected with the case, but only a handful agreed to be identified by name with the hope of garnering awareness about online information theft. Cheney obtaining private emails and confidential documents, publicizing their personal information, sending photos to two celebrity websites. Some of the photos of Johansson were nude photos she took privately to send to her then-husband Ryan Reynolds. Cheney gained access to the accounts by using the Forget Your Password feature in their email accounts. He then would reset the passwords by answering security questions from public information he found by searching the web. According to his plea agreement, Cheney received thousands of emails from the victims' accounts. According to the Associated Press, Otero heard a videotaped statement from Johansson in which she said, "I've been truly humiliated and embarrassed. I find his actions perverted and reprehensible." Not that he cares, although he's going to be in prison for 10 years, and that might not be a fun ride, considering what just happened to, what's this kid's name? Cameron Douglas?
Do you talk about somebody beating him up?
I don't know. Celebrity inmates, even if they're guys like this, probably don't sit well with the rest of the inmate, shall we say, the rest of the spa guests. Cheney faces up to 60 years in prison, and prosecutors fought to get him at least 6. Otero ruled to give him 10 years because he believed Cheney would not control his actions and showed a callous disregard. There you go. He's a jackball. All right, there's that. And then there is this story about this. Now, this is going back to what we were talking about, but I just listen to this. A lady in California, she's in Boise, Idaho. The massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary has evoked memories of a similar one in Stockton. A mother's anguished account of her experience raising a mentally ill teenage son has been both praised and panned following the Newtown School massacre. Lisa Long penned her brutally raw blog post, Thinking the Unthinkable, on the day of the Connecticut school shooting, and it went viral, setting off an international debate about mental illness. She's comparing her own child to mass murderers in public, under her own name, on the internet, for the world to see. Her 13-year-old son. In her blog, the mother of four from Boise in the U.S. writes of her experience raising her brilliant but violent son, Michael, who she says terrifies me. While Long uses a pseudonym for her son in the post, she also includes a photograph of him on her blog. The anarchist soccer mom and his own identity is not disguised. Lisa Long's son. Long describes her son's violent episodes, including one incident when he flew into a murderous rage and threatened to kill her with a knife, alongside more tender moments when he is her calm, sweet boy. I'm sharing this story because I am Adam Lanza's mother. I am Dylan Klebold's and Eric Harris's mother. In the wake of another horrific national tragedy, it's easy to talk about guns, but it's time to talk about mental illness. Her words struck a nerve in the community and sparked a remarkable online outpouring of sympathy in the day after it was published, but those sentiments quickly turned sour, with some questioning her fitness to be a mother. Another blogger took Long to task for publicly discussing her son's problems and promoting him as a future mass murderer. How about that?
I think that is very weird. I think it's very irresponsible. Where are the doctors? Where are the medical authorities?
I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. But I'll tell you this much. I told you I had a friend of mine that was a nurse up at the University of Washington Hospital, and she would interview kids, troubled kids. She said she had kids coming through there that she wanted to give their DNA to the FBI as soon as they walked out.
What's that mean?
That she thought these kids were on their way to just a nice long life as Henry Lee Lucas times three. That they were just another guy with a suitcase hitchhiking down a road, and the suitcase is full of body parts. All right.
Don't applaud that. That's disgusting.
Well, you know what I'm saying. All right, we're going to come back with our final hour on this whacked out Monday. I'm sorry, folks. It's just I tried to stay away from the topic. I couldn't do it because it's everywhere I turn. It's everywhere I look. It's either that or Gangnam Style, that PSY dude, that Psy guy with his freaky shades and his whacked life. We'll be back with our final hour here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Excuse me.
Oh, that was great.
Phil Hendry.